The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, it is championship weekend, y'all. We have the AFC and the NFC championships set for Sunday, so we will know on Monday who is going to Super Bowl 59 in New Orleans. So let's go ahead and start it off with I feel like it's obviously the better of the two matchups. The Buffalo Bills at the Kansas City Chiefs for the AFC Championship game. Right now, the Chiefs are a two-point favorite, as they should be. I mean, they're at home. They're the two-time defending Super Bowl champs, and they know how to win. So until the Bills actually get over this hump, they should not be favored in this situation at all. But with that being said, I will say the Buffalo Bills have been one of the most consistent football teams all season long. They've beat the Chiefs already once in the regular season, but now they have to do it in the postseason. It's not like that. This is a quarterback rivalry between Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, but it doesn't officially become a legitimate rivalry until Josh Allen gets over the hump and finally beats the Kansas City Chiefs. It kind of feels like it is now time for that push. You know, the Chiefs, they've continued to win. Barely. They've continued to get, I mean, here they are in the AFC Championship game. It doesn't matter how you get here, but they've just continued to win in these really extremely weird, and they're just a boring ass team, in my opinion. So that's just what it is. But I mean, they still are the champs and they still keep on winning and it doesn't matter. So Buffalo just needs to not shit the fucking bed and they should win. I mean, overall, they are the better team. The Buffalo Bills offense is so much better and so much more put together than this Kansas City Chiefs offense has been all season long. Defensively, I think they're about the same. So I feel like this is going to be a game where, yes, it's going to be focused on Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, but I kind of feel like the stars are going to be the defenses of both teams. I think both defenses are going to shine. I think both defenses are going to play a role in this one, but I feel like the Buffalo Bills defense is going to be the defense that steps it up, makes things difficult for Patrick Mahomes, and I feel like they're going to be a big reason as to why the Bills win this one. Obviously, I feel like the Bills offense, of course, is going to step up and make the plays that they need to, but I feel like it's going to be the Buffalo Bills defense that is the defining factor in this one, and I have the Bills actually getting over the hump and taking down the Kansas City Chiefs 28-20. Now, they just can't let up. They just can't let up at all. They can't keep it close. They just can't let the Chiefs get in that door, and I just don't think they will. I just think it's finally time for Josh Allen and the Bills to finally kick in the door, wave in the 4-4, and walk into Kansas City and walk out with a win, finally, and head on to Super Bowl 59. But they gotta win. They gotta actually go in there and win. They can't just give this game to the Kansas City Chiefs as most of their opponents have done for them all season. But I do think the Bills have played very consistent football all season long. And the Chiefs have also played consistent football, consistently boring, weird football. So we'll see who's more consistent this weekend. But I wouldn't be shocked, of course, if the Kansas City Chiefs head to the Super Bowl. But I have the Bills actually getting over the hump this weekend and beating the Kansas City Chiefs. Then our NFC Championship game is the Washington Commanders at the Philadelphia Eagles. Right now, the Eagles are a six-point favorite. This is a division battle. So both of these teams know each other very well. And with that being said, not only because it's a championship game, but because these two teams know each other so well, I think this is going to be a battle from start to finish. I feel like this is going to be one of those games where it's going to come down to like a last-second field goal, last-second goal line stand between the defense and the offense, and it just whoever gets the ball last is who ends up winning this one. But I just think the Eagles are the more talented team. They've been here before. I mean, they're only a few years removed from their Super Bowl win. And even though they didn't win the Super Bowl under Nick Sirianni, they're still a team that's been here before, and they have a lot of talent. Whereas to me, the Commanders are just that that hot young team that happens to just make a run to the championship game. And there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, good for them. They're here, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's just I feel like at some point the Commanders' shoe is going to drop, and I feel like it's going to be in this game. I don't even think it's going to be a bad game from Jaden Daniels. I just think it's going to be one of those hard-fought games that's won in the trenches, and since it's going to be won in the trenches, I just lean more towards the Eagles. Saquon Barkley, if you ask me who's got the better ground attack, obviously Saquon Barkley is better than anything that the Commanders have. I think the Eagles have the much better defense. While the Commanders have a pretty stout defense, the Eagles defense is the number one defense in the league, and they just demolish everybody that they go up against. But the Commanders have gotten under the Eagles' skin all season long. The two times that they played, they split both of the matchups. But even in the matchup that the Eagles won, the Commanders were right under their skin the whole way. So I feel like this is just going to be a battle. It's not going to lean one way or the other until the final drive. But I do have the Eagles winning this one 24-20 simply because I think they have more veteran leadership. They are the better team. They have more talent. And I just feel like they're ready to win this one more than the Commanders. I just think the Commanders are that hot team that nobody really knows about. And they're just going to I don't think it's going to be a bad game from the Commanders. Like I said, I think it's going to be a good game that's just won by the better team, which I think is the Eagles. Then we had a couple of coaching moves over the week since the Lions lost in the divisional round. That meant now Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn are up for grabs. And basically, as soon as they lost, Ben Johnson was hired by the Chicago Bears, so now they have their guy. Aaron Glenn, he was hired by the New York Jets, so they have their guy. And then it was announced today that Pete Carroll has been hired by the Las Vegas Raiders to be their guy. So three more positions now have now been filled, and we'll see what who else ends up. We still have a couple coaching jobs out there, still the Cowboys and the Saints. I think that's it. I could be wrong, but I think it's just the Cowboys and the Saints as of right now. But we'll see what happens. But Pete Carroll, he has now been hired by the Raiders. So we'll see what happens with the rest of the coaching positions openings that we have throughout the rest of the weekend. Then we also had the national championship on Monday between Ohio State and Notre Dame. It ended up being a pretty big snooze fest. I mean, Notre Dame did try to make a run in the fourth quarter, but I mean, to me, I actually ended up turning off the game because Ohio State was just kicking the crap out of Notre Dame. And then when I woke up the next morning, I was like, oh, wow, Notre Dame actually rallied. But of course, it was too little, too late for them. Ohio State got the win 34-23. Their quarterback, Howard, he had a solid game, 17 for 21, 231 yards and two touchdowns. But it just went as I expected. I felt like Ohio State, they were stacked on defense, and they were stacked on offense, and I just didn't feel like there was any way Notre Dame was going to be able to stop them, especially on the offensive side of the ball. And their ground attack, I felt like, was going to be too much for them, and that is exactly what happened in this one. But like I said, this is exactly what I liked about the college football playoff setup this year with the 12 teams, because, I mean, we didn't know. It's usually just the top two teams or the top couple of teams that are always winning it. And this year it was not. It was kind of the middle of the road teams. I mean, both Ohio State and Notre Dame, they were ranked all season long up in from one to all the way down to 10. They were the top teams all season, but had those couple of losses that they suffered. You know, Ohio State suffered two losses. Notre Dame only had one loss, but it used to be that those 1-2 losses would cost you a national championship. And for Ohio State, it did not. Actually, what's hilarious to me is when Ohio State lost to Michigan, everybody's like, fire the coach, fire the coach. And I'm just like sitting here like, dude, y'all are still in the college football playoff. You're going to go still compete for a national championship, and you're just upset that they lost to Michigan? Who the fuck cares? And now here is Ohio State. as the national champions. Are you guys calling for your coach's head now? I hope not. And if you are, you're fucking stupid. But congratulations to the Ohio State, because they are now the national champions. Then we had some interesting NBA games this week. And some interesting things from Nikola Jokic, man. This guy, he cannot be stopped. It's obvious. I've felt this for a while, but at this point, Nikola Jokic is the best player in the league today, hands down. But let's get to Monday night. We had a battle between two teams that went from worst last year to now actually being competitive. That is the Detroit Pistons beating the Houston Rockets. They beat the Rockets 107-96. Cade Cunningham just continues his reign of terror on the NBA this year. He dropped 32 points, had 9 rebounds and 7 assists. So he almost had a triple-double there. But that's not even the big deal. I mean, he's just been having a fantastic year. And the Pistons, they're just, I don't think they're a championship level team, and neither I don't think the Rockets are either, but both of these teams have really just completely turned it around. And both of them, you know, the Rockets are one of the top teams in the Western Conference, and they're playing fantastic offensively and defensively, and they're just really taking care of business. But like I keep saying, I don't know if I believe in them just yet, but it's really cool to see the absolute turnaround that both of these teams have had. And they've actually turned into two really competitive teams and look like they're going to keep doing that all the way until the playoffs. So then on Tuesday, as I mentioned, Nikola Jokic, best fucking player in the league. The Denver Nuggets demolished the Philadelphia 76ers on Tuesday night, 144-109. Jokic had his 19th triple-double of the season. He had 27 points, 13 rebounds, and 10 assists. The guy is insane, and it's just he does it so easily. It's just it kind of feels like when Nikola Jokic doesn't have a triple-double in a game, you're like, oh, wow, that's really, really weird because it just is so commonplace for him that he is just the triple-double machine. And the Nuggets, like I said on Monday, they keep getting stronger, and they do. They keep getting stronger. This is not going to be the last time we discuss the Nuggets and Nikola Jokic. So then on Wednesday, another guy who is having a fantastic season is SGA with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Oklahoma City smashed the worst team in the league, the Utah Jazz, 123-114, but that wasn't the story. The story is SGA dropped a career-high 54 points in this game, and it's just making such a case for himself at MVP. It kind of feels like he lost the MVP race last year, and he made a good case for himself to be it. And it's kind of like he's pissed off from, you know, losing in the playoffs, from losing the MVP, and he's just taking it into this year. And he really is just propelling this Oklahoma City Thunder team to new heights. And he's really just trying to make it so you can't discuss anybody else at the MVP, although Jokic is doing a good job at that. But the thing with Jokic is, I think he's reached this level, and it's, you know, because there's been a couple of years where Jokic I feel like Jokic could win the MVP every single year because just of what he does for this Denver Nuggets team. If Jokic were to not be on this Nuggets team, we wouldn't even know who the fuck the Nuggets are. They would be the Utah Jazz, the worst fucking team in the league. And so, you know, just with what Jokic does for this team, he's obviously the MVP every year. But I think that plays against him because I think the MVP voters every year are like, we can't give it to Jokic every year. We can't give it to Jokic every year. And I think that's kind of what they're going to do this year as well. So good for SGA that he's just demolishing everybody. But Jokic is making a real good case for MVP as well. So then Thursday, last night, Denver took it to Sacramento, 132-123. And Jokic had his 5th straight triple-double, but he is the second player ever to have over 30 points, over 20 rebounds, and over 10 assists. Oh, the only other person to do that, of course, was Wilt Chamberlain. He did it, like, I think in 1968, I believe. It was 68 or 78. I'm pretty sure it was 68. I could be wrong, but regardless, it was a long-ass motherfucking time ago. And Jokic's numbers last night against the Sacramento Kings, who actually have had a resurgence since they fired their coach. Jokic had 35 points, 22 rebounds, and 17 assists. The guy is a monster. That is his 20th triple-double of the season and fifth straight of the season. Y'all, this is only January 24th, okay? Jokic is just an absolute machine when it comes to basketball. He is like, he was just programmed to play basketball. He makes this look so fucking easy. He does not get talked about like LeBron James. And it's because he's a quiet guy, of course, but it's just like, he is such a good-ass basketball player, but nobody really talks about him like you would a good-ass basketball player. Then the other big game we had yesterday, Wemby is starting to take over the league as well. He's starting to have these same similar numbers that Jokic is having. Not really shocking, but he had another 4x4 game yesterday. In Paris, the San Antonio Spurs were playing the Indiana Pacers, and they whooped on the Indiana Pacers 140 to 110. Wemby's stat line yesterday was 30 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists, and 5 blocks. The guy is just a monster. He's also having a fantastic year. So the league is just in good hands right now with Wemby and Jokic and SGA just doing their thing. But that's some basketball we're having played right now. Jokic, as I said, man, the guy in his triple doubles, it is nuts to see what this guy is doing. Once we get to the MVP voting, it's like they try and find any excuse to not vote for Jokic. They're like, well, you know, he didn't score a triple-double in this game, so we can't give him the MVP for that. He's got to score a triple-double in every single game for us to even really give him the MVP anymore. We're sick of giving you the MVP, but Jokic, I don't think cares about the MVP. I think he's at that level where he's like, I'm just thinking about championships. So, speaking of championships, it is Championship Sunday. And like I said, we were talking about Buffalo at Kansas City, and the quarterback rivalry between Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes has kind of become the new quarterback rivalry. We always have quarterback rivalries over the years. And, like I said, with Josh Allen, he has to win this weekend for it to actually be a legitimate rivalry. You have to win in the postseason for it to be like a legit deal here. So to me, I think there's a lot riding on Josh Allen for this to become a legit rivalry. But with that being said, we have had many, many, many quarterback rivalries over the years. So this week's list is going to be the top 5 quarterback rivalries. These are just rivalries we have had over the years. A few of them I have seen. Of course, a few of them I have not. And of course, Allen and Mahomes will not be in this one because, A, they're still playing, so a lot can happen over the years. But like I said, Josh Allen has to win this weekend for me to consider this a real legitimate rivalry. So we still have a ways to go with those two. But these top 5 here, they are finished, they are done, and they have put their stamp on it. The thing that's funny with these quarterback rivalries is, you know, the way they do the schedule now is completely different than the way they used to do the schedule. I mean, a few of these, if it were in today's way they do the scheduling, yeah, we would see a lot more. Like, by the time Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes are done, we're probably going to see these guys play each other like 20 times over the course of their careers because that's just the way they set the schedule up now. They make it way more interesting. But back in the days, hell, even when I was growing up, you didn't play, like NFC and AFC teams didn't always play each other as much. So some of these rivalries would have a lot more matchups if they were in today's day and age. But they still were great rivalries, and you can't fault them for the way things were set up. So let's go ahead and begin with number 5 on my top 5 quarterback rivalries. It is Roger Staubach, the Dallas Cowboys quarterback, versus Fran Tarkenton. He was the New York Giants quarterback and the Minnesota Vikings quarterback during this rivalry. When he played for the Giants, they weren't that good, so it wasn't as crazy as a rivalry as it was. But, I mean, real talk, If you have never, now Roger Staubach, I think a lot of people know him and his career because he played for the Cowboys. He won a couple of Super Bowls. Unfortunately, my stupid dogs are going to start barking. So hang on a second here. All right. Sorry about that. I had to shut the dogs up. Dogs just bark for whatever stupid fucking reason. Probably saw a dumbass squirrel. But anyways, back to my top five quarterback rivalries. Now, I was talking about Fran Tarkenton and Roger Staubach. As I said, Roger Staubach, a lot of people know him because he played with the Cowboys. He won a bunch of Super Bowls. But Fran Tarkenton, of this era of quarterbacks, was insane to watch. If you watch any highlights of Fran Tarkenton, wow, this guy was... he was a bruiser. I mean, a lot of people don't realize. They all think the running quarterback started around Michael Vick. That's not fucking true at all. Running quarterbacks have been around since the beginning of the NFL. And Roger Staubach and Fran Tarkenton were both running quarterbacks. I mean, Roger's nickname is Roger the Dodger. The reason why he had that nickname is because he was always dodging defenders because he was running all the time. So these two were just, they had a similar style of quarterback play where they could absolutely dominate and own the pocket. They had amazing arms, but if they needed to, they could run, and they could run fast, and they could run far. And Fran Tarkenton, the thing that sucks for Fran Tarkenton is that he never won a Super Bowl. He got to a few of them, but he never won one, so I don't think he gets placed on the same pedestal as a lot of other quarterbacks back in this day because he didn't win the Super Bowls. But, I mean, Fran Tarkenton was a beast of a fucking quarterback. Now, between these two, they matched up 8 times. Staubach got the best of Tarkenton in the matchups. He has a 5-3 record over Fran Tarkenton in this time. But when Tarkenton played with the Vikings, Dallas and Minnesota were the top two teams in the NFC. Well, actually in the NFL, but in the NFC generally. And from 1973 to 1978, it was either of these two teams that were representing in the NFC for the Super Bowl. So that's how dominating they were. But they had some crazy games, back-and-forth games, last-second wins. As a matter of fact, the first Hail Mary, which was between Roger Staubach and Drew Pearson against the Minnesota Vikings, that happened in one of these matchups. So this was a great quarterback rivalry between two amazing quarterbacks at the time who were constantly in the championship games, in division games, in playoff matchups, and in Super Bowls, and just had a very similar style of quarterback play and just were fantastic football players. Then number 4 in my top 5 quarterback rivalries, I have Bart Starr and Johnny Unitas. Bart Starr played quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, of course, and Johnny Unitas played quarterback for the Baltimore Colts. They played between 1957 and 1967, and this rivalry, it actually balanced out. When they faced off against each other, their record is 8-8. So that's how well balanced this matchup was between the two. Of course, Johnny Unitas, he's more known pre-NFL days. Both of them are, but Bart Starr actually won Super Bowls, whereas Johnny Unitas, he won a Super Bowl. But basically, when the Colts won Super Bowl V, Johnny Unitas was pretty much on the tail end of his career. As a matter of fact, he wasn't even the starting quarterback for the Colts in this for this team. He did get to play in the Super Bowl, but that's just due to circumstances at the time. Unitas was at the end of his career once the Super Bowl era started. But Unitas used to actually be the Tom Brady of football before it became the NFL. And then Bart Starr came along, and then this rivalry between the two of them started up. And between the two of them, they actually have 4 MVPs and 7 titles. So that's how dominating these two guys were. And this is basically the first real quarterback rivalry that the NFL ever got. And this is another case between two very similar quarterbacks. where they were great pocket passers, but they were also good runners and excellent arms as well, and were just great in crunch time when they needed to be. But it was obviously a very well-balanced rivalry, since it equaled out where their record was 8-8. Then at number three on my top five quarterback rivalries, I have Terry Bradshaw and Kenny Stabler. Terry Bradshaw, of course, was the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback, and Kenny Stabler, he was the most notably the Oakland Raiders quarterback. He did play, oh my God, I can't remember who else he played for, but he also played for another team during this rivalry, but I mean, it's really mostly about when he played for the Raiders. So Stabler actually has the winning record in these matchups. Stabler actually went 6-4 against Terry Bradshaw-led teams. Terry Bradshaw, of course, has more Super Bowls, but Kenny also has his Super Bowl as well. But what's so great about this rivalry in particular is they faced off against each other five straight years in a row in the playoffs. They gave us some of the greatest playoff matchups you will ever see in NFL history. As a matter of fact, in one of these playoff matchups, the Immaculate Reception happened for when Franco Harris, you know, caught the ball and then ran off, you know, bounced off into the air. Franco Harris barely fingertips the ball, runs off and catches the, makes the game-winning touchdown, basically. I mean, when you're fighting for the Super Bowl, that's when you know this is an insane rivalry, and it went back and forth. These were, I know a lot of people these days don't realize it, but the Raiders actually used to be a powerhouse team, and this was a powerhouse rivalry between two very similar quarterbacks. That's what I noticed when I was putting together this list, is that for the most part, the quarterbacks mimic each other for the most part, and it's the same thing with Terry Bradshaw and Kenny Stabler, where these guys, I mean, you take a look at some of the hits that Stabler and Bradshaw would take. I mean, they were warriors at some of the hits that these motherfuckers took. Amazing arms, though, as well, and then also amazing teams surrounding them with great coaching as well. But it was a battle between these two, but most notably because they faced off in five straight playoff matchups. All right, at number two on my top five quarterback rivalries of all time, this, just so y'all know, this, of course, is personal for me. It involves one of my favorite all-time players as well. But also another, actually, the other quarterback involved, I actually have a great amount of respect for, even though he played for the rival team, if you will. But yeah, this one's at number two simply. I mean, it was a great rivalry, but it's at number two simply because this is my show, and I enjoyed both of these quarterbacks. And that would be my favorite quarterback of all time, or I'm sorry, my favorite football player of all time, Troy Aikman, who's the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, versus Steve Young, the quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers. Of course, my boy Troy, he has the lead over Steve Young, 4-3 in these matchups. But this was the battle of the 90s. The Cowboys and the Niners literally owned the league. And then the Packers, they were sprinkled in there. We had some Denver Broncos and everything there. But this was pretty much Cowboys-Niners country. And they would face off in the regular season. It would be a battle. And then they would face off in the playoffs. And it was always a motherfucking battle. And, you know, like I said, Troy Aikman, my favorite football player of all time. So, of course, I enjoyed it. But Steve Young, to me, is one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. I absolutely enjoyed the guy's career. Now, this is the one matchup where they weren't really similar style of quarterbacks. Of course, Troy Aikman, pocket passer, straight up. You ain't going to see that dude running. But Steve Young was crazy runner. I mean, he was a bruiser. The two of them, I can't even imagine how many concussions the two of them have together. I'd say they could probably write a whole bunch of stories about all the concussions they have, but usually when you have a concussion, you don't really remember what happened, so they probably can't write a bunch of stories. But between the two of them, I bet the number is really, really, really high as to how many concussions they have, especially Steve Young, because that's basically why his career ended. But he was a bruiser, man. He would take on motherfuckers like it was like it was no other. But both of them, I enjoyed both of their careers. But it was a battle. It was always a battle. Every time they faced off against each other, and they owned the 90s. And, of course, this was a great time to be a Cowboys and a Niners fan. It was when they actually won Super Bowls. But number one on the top five quarterback rivalries of all time, I don't think there's any other quarterback duo you could have put up here. I knew it was going to be number one when I even thought of it, and that is, of course, Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. Tom Brady, the quarterback of the New England Patriots. Of course, he was with the Tampa Bay Bucks as well, but this rivalry, Peyton Manning was long gone by the time Brady got to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So he, of course, was a New England Patriot for this rivalry. And then Peyton Manning, he was with the Indianapolis Colts and the Denver Broncos, because that's how long this rivalry stretched. Tom Brady, of course, has the winning record, 11-6. It actually took, to me, what Josh Allen has to do this weekend is what Peyton Manning had to do at one point. It used to always be, boom, here we are, Peyton Manning versus Tom Brady, Peyton Manning versus Tom Brady, woo, woo, woo. And, you know, Manning would get the regular season wins on occasions, but he could never get over the playoff hump. But when he finally did, the floodgates opened, and we didn't see Manning in that light anymore. He finally got his championships, and now we don't speak of this anymore. But it did take a long-ass time for Peyton Manning to finally get over the Tom Brady hump, and he did it. And that's actually what made this such a crazy rivalry, is because Brady would just beat him every single fucking time. It was like, you know, Manning would have these amazing regular seasons where he'd win the MVP and he'd just blow everybody out of the water. Then he'd hit the playoffs and just shit the bed. And it happened numerous times. And then finally, when he got over it, that's when this became a legitimate rivalry. And it did. It went back and forth in championship games, in the regular season. These were crazy battles between Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. Now, they weren't really similar quarterbacks, of course. Peyton Manning is, he was just something else. I mean, he was like a football savant. You could just tell he was born and bred to play football. He just had such a crazy knowledge about football and just was born for this. Whereas Tom Brady just had to work hard and just keep working and got better and better as the years wore on. Both pocket passers, neither one of them really athletic at all. But just the way they progressed through the game was completely different. And they do have a different style of play. But regardless, they were the two quarterbacks who just dominated this era. Every matchup, like I said, was always a good one between the two of them. And when Manning finally got over the hump and finally got past them in the playoffs, it really became a great rivalry. And like I said, it was easy. This is number one, hands down, because now, looking back on it, I mean, really, all of these quarterback rivalries that I even mentioned, they actually are all Hall of Fame level quarterbacks and went on to do great things in their careers. As a matter of fact, are all of them Super Bowl winners? All but Tarkenton. Yeah. All but Tarkenton are Super Bowl winners. So, I mean, yeah, they all went on to do great things with their outside of their careers. But yeah, they all dominated in their respective eras as well. And honestly, I don't think anything dominated harder than Brady and Manning. But then again, you know, back in Bart Starr and Johnny Unitas days, the league wasn't what it was back then, what it is today. So who knows what could have happened. And like I said, with Staubach and Tarkenton, it's the same thing. But Brady and Manning, it was just something else watching the two of them play. They were at the peaks of their careers too. Oh man, it was crazy. And like I said, it even stretched out to when Manning was with the Denver Broncos. Like they even went on to the Super Bowl and beat the Patriots in one of just an amazing championship game. So these are my top five quarterback rivalries. Like I said, Josh Allen's got his work cut out for him this weekend. He's got a lot more on the line than Mahomes does, of course, because Mahomes, His legacy is already here. I mean, he's got three Super Bowls. So you get the three Super Bowls, you are Hall of Famer. We don't even question that. Patrick Mahomes is already a first ballot Hall of Famer today. Josh Allen, he's still got some work to do, and that begins this weekend. I'm sure that's, he knows that. It's not like he needs my dumbass to say this shit to him, but I'm just saying. This ain't a legit rivalry until Josh Allen's ass beats them this weekend in Kansas City, because that's also needs to happen as well. Like, between these quarterback rivalries that I just rattled off, the top five of them, that's what they all did. They beat each other in playoff games. They finally got over the hump to beat each other and head to the Super Bowl and finally win the Super Bowl. That's what Josh Allen has to do this weekend. He has to take out the great, mighty, powerful Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs to get there. And I know it's a team game. It's not just Josh Allen who has to show up this weekend. But to make this a legitimate quarterback rivalry, yes, Josh Allen has to outduel Patrick Mahomes, and he has to get to the Super Bowl and beat them in Kansas City. I feel like this story is written. It's already, we already got part of it written. I feel like they have to do it in Kansas City. I think that's what makes this a good story, is that they have to do it. They have to take them out in Kansas City. Can they do it? I'm hoping so. Like I said, I will be sporting my O.J. Simpson jersey this weekend because I hope the Buffalo Bills kill the Kansas City Chiefs. Just a bloody fucking mess. Slit their throats all over the place. And then get in their white Ford Bronco and boom, head off down the highway. All right, y'all. Enjoy the weekend of sports, and I will talk to you on Monday.